Well, good evening, everyone. Really great to see you all tonight. And a big welcome if you're watching online as well. I hope you'll feel God's blessing as much as we're praying for here in the church as well. I've got a few notices to start with, and I'll be honest with you, they're all quite heavily biased towards camp, so please do bear with me. There is just one non-camp related one. On Sunday mornings, we normally meet together for prayer at 20 past 10. That is paused for the summer through August. So there won't be prayer meetings on a Sunday morning, but please do obviously continue praying. And that will start up again in September. So please come back in September to pray on Sunday mornings for the day ahead. And if you haven't been going to those prayer meetings, then I'd encourage you to go along to those if you can. We will need some help, as John mentioned this morning, with putting up tents on Friday evening. We're meeting at 6:30 to put up tents for camp. So if you can spare even just 20 or 30 minutes to come and help us, that would be really appreciated, because we've got quite a few to get popped up. There is an extra prayer meeting for camp planned for a week Tuesday. So camp starts next Saturday. On the Tuesday, there is a prayer meeting at John and Esther's at 7:30 on the Tuesday of that week. I can't tell you the date at the top of my head. Probably about the 4th or 5th, I would imagine, but definitely Tuesday. After camp, Pete and Mandy are organising the cleaning. So if you're able to on Saturday, the 9th of August, to come and help tidy up and do a bit of cleaning, that would also be really appreciated. And if you could let Pete or Mandy know if you're available, then they would really appreciate that, and so would all of us, to be honest. So, yeah, thank you very much. Well, as we come into our service tonight, John is continuing at the series on people that Jesus met, and tonight it's Woman with a Past Meets Jesus. And there's a very emphasis on the theme of God's grace, and what a wonderful thing for us to be considering tonight. God's grace is a complete undeserved blessing, and so look out for that through the songs tonight. The theme runs through that. But I just wanted to start with reading Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So we're going to start with a song. And as we stand, may our hearts be full of that thanksgiving and joy that's spoken of in that psalm. So we're going to sing, I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his love upon the sons of men. So let's stand and worship God together.
Oh, my God.
Let's ask God's blessing on our service. Father, we thank you so much for your amazing grace, for the way that you love sinners like us. We thank you that we have this opportunity to worship now, and whatever mind state we've come in, Lord, whether our minds busy or bored or whatever it might be, Lord, wherever our hearts are, we pray that you'll meet with us tonight, that your spirit will fill this building, and that we will hear your voice spoken to us as we worship you tonight and as we hear your words spoken. We pray, Lord, that our minds will be keep clear of distraction. Help us to focus only on you, and may you have all the honour and all the glory from our worship tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, will you turn your Bibles with me to the Gospel according to John, and we're in chapter 4. The Gospel according to John, chapter 4, and we're starting at verse 1, and we'll read down to 26. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." So that's the passage that we'll be looking at when John preaches to us in a little bit. But we're going to sing again the compassion hymn, and the chorus speaks of God's grace. What boundless love, what fathomless grace you have shown us, O God of compassion. Each day we live an offering of praise as we show to the world your compassion. Let's stand and sing and worship God.
Amen.
Together. Oh God, our Father, as we bow ourselves before you this evening, we pray that we will come with a sense of awe and respect that your name deserves, that we might realize that we are coming to our Father, but we also come into the King of the world, our Creator. And Lord, we pray that we will come with that humble spirit. Lord, we come thanking you that we can indeed have our prayers heard and answered because of all that the Lord Jesus did on the cross. And so tonight, Lord, as we pray, we ask that you will draw close to us and that, Lord, whether we are praying the prayer out loud or whether we're praying in our hearts, that, Lord, you will hear and answer our prayers as you have promised. We thank you so much, Lord, for how faithful you are and so unchanging. You stick to your promises and they will be true through to the end of time. And, Lord, we have up days and down days and sometimes we feel very strongly our faith and sometimes less so. But we thank you that despite that, our faith is built on something so firm. As we heard this morning, Lord, we thank you that you are a firm rock. And Lord, while you shelter us, you are also firm for us and unchanging. And we thank you so much that you would ever care for people on this earth. And Lord, when we go up things like mountains, like the YPs did this week, and or we go down by the sea and we see the vastness of the water or the land, it makes us feel so insignificant. And it surprises us even more why you would ever think of us. But we thank you, Lord, that even though those hands that put the stars and moon into the sky, yet, Lord, those same hands that were pierced on the cross because of our sin. And so, Father, we pray as we draw near to you tonight that we will feel a real sense of your closeness and nearness, and that, Lord, our hearts will be truly blessed, that the offerings of praise that we have in our hearts will be acceptable to you. And, Lord, we marvel at the boundless love, the fathomless grace you have shown us. And, Lord, we can never work it out. We don't want to be trying to work it out so much that we never receive it. But, Lord, may we thankfully and joyfully receive that gift of grace that you have given. That, Lord, we are forgiven even though we don't deserve to. That, Lord, you have been merciful and kind as you have been throughout the whole course of time and in eternity past. And so, Father, we praise you for who you are, for the way you are, the way that you love, the way that you are love. And we are subjects of your grace and your mercy. And for that, we praise you, our Father. And Lord, as we meet together tonight, we pray that it will be a really special time for us, that there might be something as we leave the church for us to think about and into the week, something to feed us and keep us going. We thank you, Lord, that your word sustains us and is suitable for every situation. So, Lord, wherever we are tonight in our spiritual lives, we pray that you will come close to us. Whether we need a bit of a telling off or whether we need an arm around us, Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. And so we pray that you will deal with us, that, Lord, whether we need that gently or firmly, Lord, you know. And we pray that each one of us will take something away for us to think about and ponder over the coming week. Lord, we come with a thankful heart for your blessing to the YPs as they've been away on holiday. And Lord, for keeping them safe, for all the fun they had, for all the wonderful teaching from your word that they've had, the fellowship and the good times, the memories made. Lord, we are so thankful that you gave that to them. And Lord, I know that many of them have expressed how thankful they are for all the different aspects of that enjoyable week. Lord, we thank you for this, for the big group and for the positivity that they show. We thank you, Lord, that your grace is available to them. And as they looked at your word this week, they were seeing the vanity of the world. And and Lord, I pray that it will be for all of them, that will be a moment when they felt closer to you. So please, Lord, bless them as they go back into, for some of them perhaps got to go back to work, or for the young ones with their summer holidays. We pray, Lord, that any joy that they've found in you will be lasting. And we pray, Lord, that it will have spurred them on to keep on seeking, to keep on knocking at your door. And Lord, you've promised to answer all those that knock at your door. Lord, we thank you for the leaders who gave up their time and for the love that they showed, and how keen they were for the young people to have a good time, but also to know your voice. And Lord, we pray for each of them as they recover. Some have got work tomorrow, and Lord, we pray that you will give them good rest, and that, Lord, you will really bless them in their heart for all of their efforts this week. And Lord, we pray for everyone who's away today that would normally meet with us, and people that will be away in the coming weeks. We pray, Lord, as we take these times out from our usual routine, that they'll be beneficial for us physically, mentally, and spiritually. And Lord, we pray that wherever that we end up gathering on a Sunday and worshiping you, that, Lord, your spirit will be there. And we pray that you'll keep us safe and return us safely home at the right time. And Lord, as we think of the summer holidays, we think of the ministries that have been paused, like Thrive and Rooted and First Steps and First Tuesdays, all these things that would normally go on month to month or week to week. And as they go on pause, Lord, we pray that won't be on pause for long, and that when these ministries start up again in September, that people will be back, and even more people will be back, not just people returning, but new people as well. We always worry in our faith, in our faithlessness, I guess, that we worry that people won't come back. But Lord, we thank you that you are in control of everyone's hearts, and so we pray that all those people that usually attend the groups will come back back in September. And in the meantime, Lord, that they won't feel at a loss, but they might, all the things that they hear about you during the year might be a real joy and comfort to them over the weeks. And Father, we also bring before you camp starting next Saturday. And Lord, we ask for your blessing on that week. We pray that you will favour us with good weather and with a safe time. We pray for your blessing to be upon the things upon your word as we look at it in talks and groups. We pray again that it might be a time where those young people come to know you better, and that, Lord, you will give them something to think about and to really bless their hearts. And so, Lord, as we head back into this week, you know the temptations that each of us face, the difficulties, the challenges that are going to come our way. And we pray that through it all, that we will stand strong. Lord, we have good reason to. Our Father is the creator of the universe. Lord, you have all things in your hands, everyone's heart in your hands. And we pray that we will go on without fear, that, Lord, we will go with courage into the week and whatever it may face. And, Lord, if we do have some challenges that we need to overcome, give us wisdom, give us strength, but, Lord, give us faith in you. Help us to depend wholly upon you and your finished work. And, Lord, we pray that you will keep us when we are tempted. We pray that our eyes will be fixed up on Jesus. And whatever it is that hampers us during the week and tries to pull us aside, may our roots be firmly in Jesus Christ, and know that, Lord, we are strong because of that. So bless us each here tonight, Lord, and as we worship you, fill our hearts with love for you. For, Lord, you are so amazing, so kind, so awesome, so powerful, and you deserve every bit of praise that we could ever give. So, Father, we commit this time into your hands. We pray that you will answer our prayers now. In Jesus' name, amen. So our next song is Grace by City of Light. And again, speaking of God's grace, of course, your grace that leads the sinner home from death to life forever and sings this song of righteousness by blood and not by merit. And it's just amazing to think that despite all of our failings, all of our attempts at doing good things, actually it's all of God, and we should give him praise for that. So let's stand and praise him together now.
Oh, somehow I've gone to the... Don't want to give them all the answers before... Sorry? Okay. You'll have to envisage it this evening. I don't want to put it all up at the start, so you've seen the sort of thing it is. Picture it as we go. And Emily can have an evening off. Okay. So we're in John chapter 4. And when I've spoken from this passage more recently, perhaps in small groups, I've introduced it like this. I'm going to do it like this evening. We'll get you thinking. I was in a car sitting next to a police officer when, in conversation, this account came up that we're looking at this evening. So I was in a car sitting next to a police officer when, in conversation, this account came up. I keep thinking. If it was a small group, we'd discuss it together, but it's a bit too big for that. So I'll give you a few clues. It wasn't a police car. Second clue, I hadn't been arrested. I'd be relieved at that. In fact, I was driving. The police officer wasn't on duty. We were driving away from a Christian conference, and I was giving him a lift. His name was Kevin. He's been here since, actually. And he was telling me about his conversion. And he went into an evening service at Slade, some of you know of that church in South East London. Went into the evening service. I think it was the first service he ever went to, I think so. And the account spoken from was the one we're looking at this evening. And God used it in his coming to Christ and his conversion. So we were talking about it as we drove along, and I was next to this police officer. Well, it's a great passage that we're looking at this evening, and maybe God will use this passage in your own life on this evening's service as we're thinking through it tonight. We're carrying on with our summer evening series from John's Gospel. It's about a series called Jesus Changed Me. And we're looking at encounters, meetings with Jesus in the Gospel of John. We've had two men so far. We've had Nathanael and Nicodemus, the one who was quite sceptical. Sceptic meets Jesus, and one who we called a religious guru, a religious expert. So we've had those two men, and this time we come to a lady, and we don't even know her name. She's anonymous. We don't know her name. Jesus has stopped in Samaria, and he is by a well. His disciples have gone off to shop for some essentials, and this woman comes up. And she has a very ordinary plan. She has a bucket, or the equivalent, and she's planning to fill it. Now, taps in those days, talked about this morning, so she wants to fill her water pot to give her what she needs. And she is in for a shock. Her everyday walk proves to be full of surprises. You read the account? Maybe you can think what those surprises might be that we read through. We're going to go through them one by one. So they're not going to be on the screen, but in your mind's eye, we've got a screen. We're going to have 5 points. They've got surprises written down the left-hand side, and we're going to put them up one at a time. And the first is this, surprise one, the interest of Jesus, the interest of Jesus. So as she approached her water hole and saw out of the corner of her eye, perhaps, a man she did not expect to talk. She did not expect any conversation. And I'll give you three reasons for that. One, he was a Jew and she was a Samaritan. And they didn't mix well. Hence the parable of the Good Samaritan having such power that Jesus spoke elsewhere. The Samaritans were looked down on by the Jews. They weren't really seen as the real deal. They had wonky beliefs. They were from a dodgy territory. And in history, they had wandered off far from God. So the Jews didn't speak with Samaritans. Reason number one. The second reason is that he was a man and she was a woman. And Jewish men didn't speak to women much in those days. So later on, it surprises the disciples when they come back. Verse 27, just then his disciples came back. They marveled. They were surprised that he was talking with a woman. And thirdly, probably she was a social outcast. It's thought that that's why she comes at the middle of the day on her own. And we find out some clues why that might be the case as we go on through the account. Yet Jesus asks, so despite these three reasons, Jesus asks, give me a drink, verse 7. And he's not being cheeky. In fact, it's astonishing contact from him to her. And it's shocking to her. So she says in verse 9. How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. The interest of Jesus. Before we move on, isn't this wonderful? Isn't this typical of Jesus? Jesus takes interest in this woman. Nothing special to most people. Most people would look through her. They would barely notice her. But Jesus, in a pure way, takes interest in her. He talks. He wants to influence this lady for good. And it is an example to us. Not to overlook, if you like, the overlooked. But to take interest in those who aren't seen as special, those who don't have the top jobs and the big names, people who are ordinary or are seen as perhaps less than ordinary by some people. It's an example. But more than that, I think this encourages us this evening. If Jesus takes interest in her, perhaps he will take interest in me. Maybe he's not only interested in the big personalities, in those that everyone else likes to be in with. Maybe he has time for the ordinary, those who haven't got everything sorted, those who've got stuff to be ashamed of. Maybe Jesus will deal with someone like me. His interest in her is the first surprise. Surprise number two, the gift of Jesus. The gift of Jesus. The exchange they have unfolds in an interesting way, and in an astonishing way, actually. He says, verse 10, if you knew the gift of God, who it is who's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. She says, verse 11, sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? He says, verse 13, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. She says, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus can give, the gift of Jesus, Jesus can give living water. She thinks he's talking about ordinary water, essential but temporary. I don't know how many drinks you have a day. How many times you put the kettle on if you're into hot drinks. How many times you sip your water bottle. It's much more common these days. Don't people like to keep their fluid levels up and keep hydrated, so people sip away at the water. It's probably a good thing to do, but I probably ought to do it much more often than I do. How many drinks do you have a day? Well, it's good, but you need to keep doing it, don't you? It keeps your body going. You need the fluid, especially in hot weather. If you're climbing a mountain, I understand it wasn't sunny when you climbed the mountain, which probably helped, but I guess most of you had some fluid on you and took the water during the week when you were doing such exercise. And she's thinking about normal, natural water. But Jesus is offering, the gift of Jesus is something different. It is one of satisfaction and life that never ends. Verse 14, "But whoever drinks of the water I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus can satisfy your deepest needs. Jesus can make you right with God. Jesus can give you spiritual life. Jesus can give deep, substantial reasons for hope, purpose, peace, and joy. Through him, you can have a restored relationship with God. It was meant to be. And that life that he gives will never end. It can't be extinguished. It goes through the years and it goes beyond death. This is the gift of Jesus, which this lady heard about and was shocked by. Do you have this gift? I have to ask you, don't I? Do you have this gift? This is the gift that Jesus offers to this lady. Surprise number three in your mind's eye. The knowledge of Jesus. The knowledge of Jesus. Jesus makes a comment. And it's a comment which makes her feel uncomfortable and a bit embarrassed. You have it in verse 16. He says, "Go call your husband and come here." I imagine she's looking at the ground at this point. I imagine she's avoiding eye-to-eye contact with Jesus, but I have no picture or photo to be sure. She gives a bit of an answer at the start of verse 17. "The woman answered him, 'I have no husband.'" There's no shame in that. But Jesus fills in the gaps that she's left out. And he says, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you said is true." Jesus knows all about her. He knows all about her mistakes and her failures. Of course, it could be that she's been let down by previous husbands, that she's been cheated on multiple times, but I think that's very unlikely when you've got five of them involved. I think she's been doing some of the cheating. The relationship she now had wasn't a proper one. She's not married to her fella at the minute. It sounds like she's been sleeping around a fair bit in her previous years. And Jesus knows that. And yet he's offering her living water. When I worked in social services in the human resources department, we were involved with processing police checks for staff and for volunteers. I was involved a bit with a handbook of guidance that we needed to agree between the area offices for how things should work out. It was based on some stuff from the Home Office. And I remember the phrase for those whose police check didn't come back totally clear. Those who'd had a conviction or a caution, they were called persons with a past. Persons with a past. And if information came back from the police about a person with a past, then it had to be put in a very confidential envelope and it needed to go to the senior manager to make a decision as to whether that was relevant in terms of what they were asking to do as a job or as a volunteer. Person with a past. Well, this woman was a woman with a past. She was a person with a past. And you and I are persons, are people with a past. It may or may not have made its way to the police records. It may or may not be actual immoral behaviour. It may be an immoral mind fantasising over all sorts of things. It may be that our lips have told lies, insulted, back-chatted, blasphemed, gossiped. It may be that our fists or our feet have deliberately, intentionally hurt people. We are people with a past. And Jesus knows all about it, you know. Jesus knows all about it. He knows the numbers and the details. He knows the commissions, what we've done, and the omissions, what we should have done. And you may feel ashamed at the thought of that, like this lady seemed to feel. Yet he still invites you to come to him for living water. Verse 10. You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Surprise number 4. The 4th surprise in the account is the answer of Jesus. The answer of Jesus. Especially about worship. The things Jesus has said have got this lady thinking. And whether she's partly trying to change the subject away from something personal and awkward, or whether it's just genuine intellectual curiosity, or perhaps it is a combination of the two, she moves it on and she's thinking about worship and place. So she's thinking about worship and place. She senses she has somebody prophetic on her hand, so she asks a question, she poses the situation, and she talked about the Jews. The Jews worshipped at Jerusalem, on the sort of mountain of Jerusalem. Samaritans, they had their worship place, which was somewhere different, a different mountain. She said, who's right? Where should you go to worship, she's asking. And Jesus' answer is more than just sort of picking of the two the appropriate place of worship. You know, not here, but there. No, Jesus' answer is much bigger. It's much bigger than that. And what he says is obviously exceptionally important. This is what he says, verse 21. Woman, believe me, The hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. A new age was coming when worship wasn't primarily about location. It was about heart. Hearts filled with living water would worship God in spirit and in truth. They would be helped by God the Spirit to worship sincerely and in line with God's word. And this time had come. Now, you and I might find this helpful. We can easily be taken up with location or building. And Christ brings a change. True worship is not about the postcode. It's about the heartbeat, if I can put it like that. We come to TN6 1TD to worship. Well, we do join together here to worship and praise. But more fundamentally, it's about what's going on in our hearts. Being in tune with God is not so much about your where you are, or your class, or your people group, or your town, or your parents. It's about a real and vibrant heart which has received living water. But as well as grasping that about what true worship is, it says something about Jesus. Jesus is bringing about this change of era, if I can put it like that. The new era was beginning. Jesus talked about the hour, that is, it's more than just clock hour, it's the hour, the time, the significant time. The hour is coming, he told in verse 21. And in verse 23 he says, the hour is coming and is now here. The time had arrived. Jesus had brought about an epoch change, a big change in the whole phase of human history, which brought a different emphasis to worship, which was much more heartfelt and joyful, and as a result of the work of the Spirit. So you have surprise number four, which is the answer of Jesus. We've had the interest of Jesus, the gift of Jesus, the knowledge of Jesus, the answer of Jesus. And as she thinks about what he's saying, it brings us to the fifth surprise, which is the identity of Jesus. The identity of Jesus. So her mind is chugging. She's trying to sort of process what Jesus has been saying to her. And things are starting to fall into place. The penny is dropping for this lady. And it all makes her say this in verse 25. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. We're getting to the climax of the account here. It's as if the sort of background music stops and there's a bit of suspense. So we realise we're getting to something even more crunch than we've got onto before. We've heard great things already, but now it's as if it gets to a finale. And Jesus' response to her is brief, but it's startling. As he says in verse 26, I who speak to you am he. This unknown lady left her house water pot in hand. Imagining it was a normal day of chores, found herself directly talking to the Messiah. The Christ, God's appointed leader, God's son, the one who, as the townsfolk would put it a little bit later on, was the saviour of the world. And here he is, introducing himself to an ordinary woman. A woman with a past. Somebody who's been religiously puzzled. Somebody that perhaps others ignore. Amazed at her encounter, she's off. She doesn't even take her bucket. You know, she came to fill up with water. She's just sort of forgotten about that. Something else has happened, which was much bigger priority than sipping her water or getting her cup of coffee. Although a bit of an outcast, she still seems to have contact with people in the town, and she's off to tell them her discovery. And she says, could this be the Christ? As the account continues. The identity of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, God's leader, God's son, the saviour of the world. And I don't know where you stand in terms of what you think of the identity of Jesus, but it would be an amazing and a wonderful thing, whatever your background, however plain you feel, whatever have been your previous failures, whatever religious confusion and puzzle you've been through in recent months, it'd be an amazing and wonderful thing if you came to know Jesus as the Christ and to receive him as your Saviour and Lord and to have from him living water, which produced in you real life leading to everlasting life. It would be an amazing thing. And she came to believe that he was the saviour of the world. And the townsfolk, it says, a good number of them came to recognise that Jesus was the saviour of the world. And that's what the police officer next to me in that car, as we were driving along, had come to realise as he'd heard an evening Sunday service on John chapter 4. He'd come to realise that Jesus was the Christ, the Saviour of the world, and he received living water. And I'm praying, and I think it would be wonderful if some here this evening also got to that point where they knew who Jesus was. And despite the failures of the past and the confusion of the years, they found from him living water, salvation, forgiveness, everlasting life. That would be a wonderful thing. So I hope that God uses it to help you in your pathway and experience. Well, we're going to sing a song of invitation to finish. We haven't got so many of those in our repertoire. I'm not sure there's so many of them written these days, but I like this one. And it follows on well from what we have been looking at. So rather than a hymn directly of praise, it's really we're singing to one another the invitation that comes from Christ to come to him and to find from him that wonderful, abundant life that he gives. Shall we stand to sing our last song, Come to the Waters?
Come to the waters, the river is thirsty, drink from the
that's our closing prayer. Perhaps at the end of it, Emily, you could just leave up the whole slide so that anyone who's forgotten what was covered or taking notes and missed a point can jot it down. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, for his compassion, for his interest in the lowly failures of life, for his invitation for them to come to him for living water, to turn to him in repentance and faith, and to experience the joy that comes through the good news of the gospel. And if we've thought about this wonderful account this evening, we pray that your Holy Spirit may use it to be a tonic to Christians who already know Jesus as their Saviour and who just love to be reminded of these things, but also a real drawing to Jesus for others to know him for the first time. And this we pray in his name. Amen.